Well, good morning. When I went and sat down there, there were about 30 people in here. First time I've turned around since. Good morning. It's lovely to be here with you today. As Sadhu said, I am the area dean of Gillingham, also vicar of Holy Trinity Church in Twiddle and St. Barnabas Church just up the road here in Gillingham. It's been really interesting to hear what has been said so far this morning about belonging, about being members together, about all of the different things that you are doing as a church to engage with being members together. And then to hear that great Bible reading and Paul's encouragement and his challenge to us to be members. So let us pray. Lord God, we know that we are members of the body of Christ. We pray this morning for ears to hear you, to hear your challenge and your call, to understand what members we are and how we relate to one another. So may I speak in the name of God to his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A couple of months ago, I decided to do a new thing. I became a member of the local cinema. The one down at Dockside. It seemed like a good thing to do, because if you go regularly, it's actually really good value for money. But it's interesting what a difference it has made to the way that I go. Where before I was slightly whimsical about going to the cinema, I'd do it if there was something on I really wanted to see, and if it just so happened that there was a slot in my diary. Now, I'm scouring the listings to see what I might go and see next. I'm building some space in to actively find the time to go. Where before I was anonymous and faceless, now the lady in the little Costa knows what coffee I want as I'm walking up to the counter. Before, I did just what worked for me, what I fancied. I never really gave it a lot of thought. Now I'll go and see what's on, even if I'm not sure I'll like it. Being a member is really different from being just a consumer, even if we're just talking about the local cinema. But membership is out of fashion. Since the middle of the 20th century, membership organizations have been finding their size eroded, their numbers dropping decade by decade. And it doesn't really matter what kind of an organization we're talking about. Political parties, trade unions, membership clubs, whether they be sporting or social or any other kind. Religious institutions. Anything that you have to actually join. Anything that requires more than a loose and semi-anonymous affiliation. Many have closed or been forced to amalgamate. Or been forced to accept that the only way to continue is to allow attendance to be more fluid, less loyal, where people can become consumers and stop being members. Why is that? Well, sociologists suggest that during the course of the latter part of the 20th century, as postmodernism took hold of our culture, people stopped joining things that they thought might hem them in. Make them take part in stuff they didn't necessarily want to. Commit themselves to things for more than they wanted to. For longer than they wanted to. Tie them indefinitely to people and give them connections and responsibilities more than they might choose. To indelibly identify them with a cause that one day they might not want to be associated with. A member is a significant piece of a complex structure. A member is a part of a whole and part of what makes that whole work. A member has interdependent relationships and responsibilities, and society these days shies away from that. And it's not because modern people are more selfish or more isolationist. It's because we are more individual. We don't want to be told what to do or made to buy into the large narratives of life just because it's what society does. So now, instead of signing up to be a member of the Labour Party, buying wholesale into its ethos, being a part of its workforce, I can be a political free thinker with a healthy suspicion of it all, holding it all at arm's length and viewing the organisation with suspicion. I can still vote for them. I can still largely agree with them, but I'm not counted as one of them. I have my own identity, and if I disagree, it's easy to turn my back and walk away. I don't have to belong. This change in society that's been creeping up on us over the last century or so has arguably affected the church most of all, as numbers on electoral rolls and other type of church membership records have fallen, because believe me, it's not just the Church of England. So the rise in anonymous cathedral worship and in mega churches is on the rise. Places where you can go, do what you want and what you need, but never really become a full-blooded member. And of course, we live in a world where people who want to define themselves as spiritual or prayerful or believers often never join a church where they might be asked to accept all of what is proclaimed or join in fully with that body's life. It's easier to stay at home and pray in your own way and believe what makes sense to you. In Romans 12:2, and I've got that written down, that didn't just come out of my head, Paul challenges the church to live differently. Do not be conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And for us, I think that means very, very strongly, don't let the desire of the world to detach and focus on personal identity seduce you, because you belong to one another. Don't walk away from membership, because you are members of one another. The call to belong and to sign up to be together is very, very important in Scripture. Jesus paints this fabulous picture of the church as the vine, one living organism fed by the Spirit. And Paul tells us often to whom we belong, of what we are members. We are members of one another. We are members of Jesus. We are members of the family of God and of the household of God. And the belonging that comes from being members of one another is not a clean, neat, private, comfortable affair. It's up close and personal. It's in your face. It's intimate and it's costly. It's not sitting in rows, eyes straight ahead, and leaving during the last hymn. And I know there are people in this room who have done that. It's not making polite conversation over coffee, knowing that who you are today is who you'll be tomorrow. Because if we are members together, then we rub off on each other. And we challenge one another to change and to grow. And we can only do that if we really, truly commit to being together, to being members of one another. And if we then recognize the value of one another as members of the same body. Paul speaks very graphically of this, both in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12, which is quite neat. Our membership of one another is powerful in its diversity if we embrace it. If we look at one another and say, wow, look at you. Look at the role that you fulfill and the beauty of you as a member of this body. Because there is nothing in the body that isn't there for a purpose, that has no value and no calling. And that means that as members here together, we each have a calling. And we each have a responsibility to God and to one another to work out what part of the body we are and to ensure that our part is working as it should be, to see what other parts are around us and ensure we are part of what helps them to flourish and not what hinders. And that's partly about embracing the diversity of gifts. And it's a part about listening to God who calls and challenges us to new thinking. Maybe you've spent your whole life thinking, me, I'm a hand. But maybe God has a different idea of what member of the body you are. And churches can be full of people who all think that they are ears, holding their eyes tightly shut to the world that God wants them to see. And churches can be full of people who all think they are hands doing the work of God in this building. And God is crying out for them to be feet, going out and taking the gospel out into his community. And I know that you've spent a lot of time here over the last year or so listening to God and to your community, asking what shape of body St. Mark's needs to be for the years to come. And I wonder how many of you have been challenged through that process to go, do you know what? Maybe my hand season is done. Maybe my feet or my eyes season is upon me. Well, whatever that role is and however God challenges and changes it in you, you are still healthy and whole and nourished all the while you belong to the body. That growing awareness of who we are and what we're called to, that journey of discipleship is part of how we grow as members of one another. Because it's a shared calling and it's something that God leads. Paul says, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them he chose. He called each of you here in this church, those of you who have been here since before you can remember, those of you perhaps who walked in the door for the first time this morning, God chose you to be here today. Intimately joined, working together, honoring one another's gifts and weaknesses so that the whole body is healthy. And that's the thing about being members of one another and not just a group of disparate people gathered in the same place. Have you ever had a really bad toothache? You know that your brain is trying to tell you that it's a tiny, tiny part of you that is hurting. But somehow you can feel it from the tips of your hair to the toes on your feet. And that's what being members of the body is. When a member right across the way from you is hurting, you feel their pain. When a member on the other side of church is celebrating, you feel their rejoicing. Membership isn't a clean, neat, private, comfortable affair. It's up close and personal. It's intimate and it's costly. When in church life we do not feel what each other feels, then we have to start asking how healthy our body is. And our membership of the body is also honoring, and it's honoring of all. I'd like to bet that for everyone here this morning, there are people that you know really well. I'd like to bet that for most of you, the person sitting next to you is someone that you know well. And you know why they're here. And you can go, ah, Sadhu, he's the head of our body, or possibly the beard of our body. Or this is Mary, and she's the heart of our body, or the hands, or the eyes, or the ears, or whatever. But I bet there are also people in here, perhaps slightly further away, that you don't know except in passing or perhaps not at all. And you don't know what part of the body they might be or what role they might play in the life of the church. And more than that, I'd like to bet that there is at least one person in here this morning who's thinking, well, that's all very well for everyone else, but I don't feel that I'm part of this body. Well, at least not a very useful one. Yep, I reckon I'm the appendix of this body. Once upon a time, it had its uses, but not recently. These days, no one would really notice. If they whipped me out and threw me away, I'd be less trouble. I'd like to bet there's at least one person this morning feeling like that. I don't matter to the body. I have no value. Here's a medical fact about the appendix. It has long been seen as something that has no modern purpose. A bit of the body that was handy back in the day before modern humans, but then now pretty much just sits there and doesn't do a lot. It's history. It's legacy. Like those great big bits of furniture that a lot of churches have that we know 100 years ago it had a really important purpose, but now none of us can imagine what it was. It just sits there. There are lots of people in our churches up and down the country who think they are the appendix in the body of Christ. Once they were useful, but their time is past. They're an anachronism. And if they grumble too much, you could take them out and throw them away and no one would notice or care. I actually know whole churches full of people like that. The thing about the appendix, though, is in 2007, American scientists discovered that quietly, behind the scenes, without anyone really noticing, the appendix is actually phenomenally useful. It provides a home for all those good bacteria so beloved of yogurt adverts, in that it aids digestion. Yes, we won't die without it. But a fully functioning appendix makes us healthier. So who are the appendixes, which I think is probably correct, in this church? Those members who think they're not needed or wanted, or that their gifts are surplus to requirements or from another era, or that they serve no purpose. And what does God want to say about their hidden gifts and their hidden value in the life of this community that might never be celebrated out the front with a round of applause? I think later we should get everybody up for a round of applause. What does God want to say to them about the real value of their membership, of the life of this community? And who's going to tell them if not you? So this body is healthy only so long as all its members are healthy. And unlike a physical body, this body shows its health in the new members that it grows. Now that would be weird in a physical body. We go to the doctors and say, "Doctor, doctor, look how healthy I am. I've grown a third eye." But we need to make joining the membership easy, especially in this day and age where people are wary of joining anything. I was in a church not so long ago where they were talking to me about someone new, and she wasn't really allowed to be involved in the leadership. They were still slightly suspicious of her as an outsider. And when I asked the lady herself how long she'd been there, she said, "Oh, nearly 10 years. That is not a healthy body. People who come to churches will only stay if there are people there prepared to make significant relationships with them, to see them as properly, fully part of the body. Not house barefoot in case the other one drops off, but a proper, full member of the body of Christ." Where that works, the body is beautiful. The verse after our reading this morning ended says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We together, not alone, are witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And our membership of one another and our willingness to draw others to be members too is one of our loudest testimonies." To end a story from yesterday, I was in conversation with a new Christian. His journey has been a difficult one. He spent his whole life, by his admission, with a huge chip on his shoulder, wondering why other people's lives have always turned out so much better than his. And when his thoughts turned to God at all, it was to blame him for all that has been disappointing. But God intervened in his life in quite an astonishing way. This man had never prayed really in his life. And one day, sitting in McDonald's down in Chatham, where all the best theological conversations happen, he was having a cup of coffee thinking, I don't know what to do. I can't go on. And a voice in his heart said to him, "Your prayers have been answered." Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay. And God directed this man to join a church. It's not much of a church. It's quite small. It's quite elderly. It's not very wealthy. It doesn't grow a whole lot. But during our conversation, this guy I was talking to referred to himself as a scumbag. He said, "I am a scumbag and a sinner. And these people don't treat me like that." And I said to him, "Well, that's because they don't see you like that." "Well, they only know the me that's now," he said. And I said, "The you that's now is the only you there is." This church might not be a big or a successful church, but it has the eyes to show this man a person he cannot see for himself. A kind, generous, hardworking man who would do anything for you. It has the ears to listen to his unpacking of who he is and who God wants him to be. It has the hands to lead him forward into a journey of discipleship, which he described as Jesus saying to him, "Well, you've tried it your way for 60 years. Let's give my way a try." And it has the heart to love him when he can't love himself. He sees himself of no honor, and they treat him with all honor, so that in the end he might see himself in the same way. And he is astonished to find himself belonging to so beautiful a body. It isn't perfect, but it's beautiful, and God is at work in it, because they belong to one another and they invite others to come and belong to them. So what is the body of Christ looking like here at St. Mark's? And what is your place within it? And the body of Christ here this morning is a member of a bigger body in this area, in this nation, and in the world. What is the role of this church in that larger body? Because as Paul says, we are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Amen.
And thank you very much for what to me was a very enabling and a challenging message, right, very important to where we are as a community. I want us as a church to respond, and I want us to respond in silence. I want to deliberately give a few minutes to actually open ourselves to God in silence, and perhaps if it's helpful to you, let me ask three or four questions. The one is the most simple: what is God saying to us right now? Second question: what part of the body am I? A third question: am I playing a role that I should not be playing? Fourth question: am I not playing a role that I should be playing? Holy Spirit, you speak. So in this time of silence, please speak to us. Continue to speak to us.